Hello and welcome to the podcast for Christ Community Church in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. This is the message that Tom Job recorded for our streaming service for May 17th, 2020. He spoke from Psalm 131, Romans 8, and Psalm 81.
Hey everyone. There was a time when Tina and I, as far as West Knoxville was concerned, were a little bit famous-ish. Way back like in the 80s and 90s, we were missionaries, and one of the churches that sponsored us was Cedar Springs Presbyterian Church. And when you were sponsored, it's a church of like thousands, and when you're sponsored by them as a missionary, you're kind of a celebrity in a way. Like, they put your picture on this hallway, which is their missionary hall of fame. And every year they have a week-long celebration of all the missionaries that they support. And they ask you to try to make it once every 4 years. And when you're there, you get an opportunity to go up on the big, like, platform where the pulpit is, and share to that church full of people in 3 minutes everything that God has done in your life in the last 4 years. And back when we started there, the pastor there was Dr. Donald Hoke, who had been a missionary forever in Japan, was kind of a missionary statesman in America. And he was awesome, but he ran a pretty tight ship. So if you went 15 seconds over your 3 minutes, he was sitting behind you on the platform and he had a little bell and he would reach down and ring it. And the rumor was that if you went 30 seconds over 3 minutes, there was a trap door underneath you that would open up and you would just like disappear down to the floor. But if you were a missionary sponsored by them, it wouldn't be uncommon for you to be like around West Knoxville somewhere, and somebody would come up to us and say, "Oh, I know you, you're Tom and Tina. We go to Cedar Springs." And we wouldn't really know who they were, but they would know who we were. And it made you feel a little bit famous. But one time, the first year we were in Italy, we were living in Florence, Italy, and we had to learn. We were the whole thing, whole year, we were just focusing on learning the Italian language. And one day I was walking through downtown Florence, and I remember exactly where I was. And I saw somebody, and I thought, I know him. I think he's from Cedar Springs. I mean, I don't know who he is, but when he sees me and our eyes meet, he's going to say, "You're Tom of Tom and Tina. I recognize you." Well, when we got a little bit closer and he looked at me and he looked like straight through me, and I realized he had never seen me before and had no idea who I was. And then I realized the reason was because he wasn't from Cedar Springs or West Knoxville. He was the dentist that was on the Bob Newhart show when Bob Newhart was a psychologist and their offices were like next door to each other. So I thought, yeah, he has no idea who I am. I mean, that year, we felt that way a lot. Like, nobody knows who we are. We were just learning the Italian language and going to school all day, and feeling like nobody here really knows who we are. Nobody really knows that we're not as stupid as we seem to be, trying to learn this language, saying stupid stuff and making stupid mistakes all day. And things could happen, like in your classroom, the teacher would ask you to talk about your life and the problems that you were having in Italy. And I would say something like, one of my biggest problems is discouragement. And you would say, my biggest problem is scoraggiamento. But what you really meant to say was scoraggiamento, because scoraggiamento means, I better not say it, passing gas. And everybody would laugh and you would laugh right along with them. And you would think, nobody really knows me here. I'm not as stupid as they think I am. And if I knew how to say it in the Italian language, I would say, does anyone here realize that I have a master's degree in theology? And after a while, it would kind of get into your head. And I would think, I don't really know who I am anymore. So I think there are a lot of people who are probably feeling like, I don't really know who I am anymore. Like I used to have something that I did for Jesus. We have friends here at Triple C that on Friday, they would go to an assisted living place and they would sing hymns together and just talk and chat. And they were missionaries of encouragement in a discouraging place and they can't go now. And it would be easy to ask yourself, I mean, who am I? It was important to me. I think about chaplains in the hospital. What they do comes out of who they are. And what chaplains do is it's the guy that sits with somebody in their room and listens to them talk about what they're going through. It's the woman that takes somebody's hand and prays with them. It's the person who hugs someone and cries with them. And they can't do any of that now. And they probably wonder, who am I? You think about a person who had a job maybe in a coffee shop and they lost it. And you think, well, I mean, okay, you lost a job in your coffee shop. But you know, that person is, for many people, the first person that they see every day. The first smile they get every day. The first person who asks them, how are you? And listens for the answer. And now they don't have that job. And they're like, I don't have my little flock. Who am I? You know, I think this is the first time in years that I haven't been like up in the prison every week. And it's been a little bit embarrassing for me to realize how much like the stuff that I do is wrapped up in kind of who I am. And I didn't really think that, but you know, just to walk through the prison yard and have guys, you know, yelling at me from the rec yard, you know, and waving and to just the dear friends that we have in there that have taught me so much just about how to stay encouraged when you live in the most discouraging place in Tennessee. I mean, that prison is kind of like my home away from home in some ways. There was a time, we did a Christmas dinner one time for the guys at Christmas time, and I got up to give a Christmas message. And this was on the Monday after Thanksgiving, and on the Tuesday before Thanksgiving, I had had rotator cuff surgery in my shoulder, and I was in a sling, and I was given my message, and I started to bleed through my shirt, and I felt like Curt Schilling in Game 6 of the American League Series in 2004 when he was bleeding through his sock, and now I can't go there anymore. And I feel a little bit like, I don't know who I am now. There's a song about an old person who is being moved to an assisted living place from his old farmhouse. And it says, who will watch the home place? Who will tend my heart's dear space? Who will fill this empty place when I am gone from here? And it says, I wander around touching each blessed thing, the chimney, the table, the trees, and my memories swirl around me like birds on the wing. When I leave here, who will I be? And we can't do anything about it. It's just like, I feel so powerless. It's because a worldwide, you know, thing has enveloped the entire globe. And we're powerless to change it. I feel helpless. Powerless, useless, and helpless. I feel like a baby. Sometimes I just feel like a little baby. I feel like I'm gonna cry like a baby. I have done it. It's just been a time when I feel like crying like a baby. And the Spirit of God says to my heart, there you are. If you've wondered who you are, that's you right there. You've always been a baby. Luke chapter 18, people were bringing their kids to Jesus and the disciples were like, get your kids, he doesn't have time for your dang babies. He's important. Stop bringing your babies. And Jesus said, let the kids come to me. Because you have to become like a little kid to be in the kingdom of heaven. But in verse 15, it says that what they were bringing was newborns. It's even a word that's used for a baby that hasn't even been born yet. Powerless, useless, helpless. That's me. You know, I think about all the different ways that the scripture tries to tell us that we're helpless, that we're sheep. I mean, people say sheep are stupid. I don't know if sheep are stupid. I don't know how you'd know. Somebody said when they used to have the circus, you never saw sheep doing tricks in the circus. They're defenseless. Like if you Google sheep, like if you Google articles about sheep and ask the question, what is a sheep's natural defense against predators? They'll straight up tell you they have none. The only thing they do, like we used to have sheep and I'd have to tackle them and take them down to the neighbors a couple of times a year. And when you tackle them, when you're holding them, they poop their little BB poops in your face. I mean, it worked for me, but I don't think it would work for anybody that was serious about getting a hold of one of those. There's a place in Psalm 81 that says, open wide your mouth and I will fill it. Like a little chick just straight out of the egg. And all one time, Tina, this was in 1977. We were living in the married student housing that are down where the intramural fields are now on Sutherland Avenue. And these little starlings would fall out of their nest. And they were just little bitty tiny pink things with a gigantic head and closed eyes and this humongous beak. And she started bringing them in the house and feeding them like wet dog food and hard-boiled eggs. And she would raise them. But all they were was a big yellow beak. You couldn't miss it. She raised 28 of them. She'd go outside and whistle and they'd come and land on her head. And they would say, like the British people would say, that's my mom. But they were so helpless. Like a helpless baby. That's you. And that's me. But we're God's baby. You know that feeling when you just feel like, I don't know anything else to do. I feel so helpless right now. I don't know anything else to do, but I just feel like in my heart, I just want to cry. I don't want to cuss. I don't want to complain. But there's something in my heart that wants to cry out, to cry like a baby. But cry to God and say, help me. I need you to help me. That thing in there, in your heart, is God's way of telling you that you're his. There's a place in the book of Romans, in verse 16, where it says, the Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you're a child of God. God, the Holy Spirit in your heart telling you that you're his. And how does he do that? Well, the verse right before says, we've received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry. It's a word that just sometimes means in the New Testament to cry like a baby. Abba, Father. But Abba, my Arabic friends used to tell me that Abba is what a baby calls his daddy. It's a bilabial plosive. It's the first sound that a baby makes. It's daddy. It's really dada. It's what babies do. They just cry out, help me. I remember Luciano Pavarotti, the great opera singer, when he was really, really young, The first international tour he ever went on, he went with a soprano whose name was Joan Sutherland. And she could sing forever without her voice ever getting tired. And she said, she tried to teach him, this is how you have to do it. You have to sing like a baby. Like babies, when they cry, you can see right here in their diaphragm, it's going in and out. That's where they cry from. And they can cry all night long without their voice ever getting tired. You need to learn how to do that. There's a place where, I guess it's in a classic book on prayer, where this person said, as far as I can see, prayer is ordained for the helpless. In fact, prayer and helplessness are inseparable. You can't really pray, he said, unless you feel like you're helpless. Sometimes people, when they teach you to pray, say that you should pray like Acts, A-C-T-S. First, adoration. Tell God, you know, that you worship and adore him. And then confession, and you confess all your mess ups. And then thanksgiving, just tell God everything you're thankful for. And then supplication. And just like, that's when you ask for what you need. And that's how you're supposed to do it. And that's how you really do it. And I understand that. And that's really awesome and everything. But sometimes you just cry like a baby. Help me. I just need you to help me because I feel helpless. And that's when you're really praying. And that's what he wants to hear from you. I mean, sometimes you think like when people have babies, and they're so excited. And you think, I mean, if you think about it, and you've never had one, you wonder, why are they so excited? I mean, this little human is powerless, useless, not gonna be able to do like farm chores for a while, and helpless. Why are they so excited? And it's because of love. Why is the Father so excited to hear you cry to him? It's just love. You know, people say, when the Bible talks about God loving me like a dad, I didn't really have one, or my dad was pretty mean, or my dad was a drunk, or I never knew my dad. It doesn't mean anything to me. But in the New Testament, when it compares like the love of God for you, it's not compared to the love you got from your dad, which for some of us, it was awesome, but not for all of us. But it's compared to the love you felt for your babies. Remember that feeling? And feeling like, I can't believe that God feels this way about me. There's places in the Bible where it says the love of God the Father is like the love of a mother. It says in Isaiah 49, can a nursing mother forget her baby? Maybe, but I'll never forget you. You're engraved on the palms of my hands. You know, sometimes in the Old Testament, it talks about God being El Shaddai, the Almighty, the Lord Almighty, Shaddai. Actually, that's a Hebrew word that's so old that scholars aren't really sure what it means. But some people think it's related to the word shad, which means breast. And it means Almighty God is a God who loves you with a love that meets every need you have. As a helpless, powerless child, the way a nursing mother cares for her baby. And when you cry out to him, he hears you. When you cry to him and say, help me, in the days of coronavirus, help me. I don't know what to do. I need you to help me. I'm so discouraged, or I'm so afraid, or I feel so powerless. Help me. And he'll hear you. You know, the Earth spins at 800 miles an hour, and the Earth is going around the sun at 18 miles a second, and our solar system is spinning at 140 miles a second, and the Milky Way is spinning at 320 miles a second. If you wake up in the morning and feel a little sick in your stomach, it could be why. But in all this spinning, and you just cry out, "Dad," and he hears you. That's what I need. In the days that we're living in, of worldwide confusion and helplessness and powerlessness, to know that when I feel that way in an overwhelming way, and I can call out to my dad, like a little baby, and he hears me. Wow. You know, one time, there was a woman that I had always learned so much from her. Her name was Elizabeth Elliot. She died a few years ago. Her husband, Jim Elliot, was killed as a missionary in Ecuador in the jungle. But she said one time she had these friends who had taken a bunch of kids, like high school kids, on a camping thing, kind of like an expedition wilderness thing. And one of the girls, this was back in the day, like when you had contact lenses, like back when you used to get contact lenses and you only had like a pair of contact lenses, that was like it. And like they weren't like disposable or anything. Those were your contact lenses. And one of the girls, she was really kind of scared about going, but, and they were rappelling down this like granite face rock wall. And she had never done it, was really pretty scared. But it was like, you know, a couple hundred feet or something. And she had gone halfway down and then was kind of on this wall. And the rope kind of snapped and hit her in the face. And it knocked one of her contacts out. And she was like, "Oh no, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'll do without my contact. I can't see without it. I'm going to have like this whole camping trip thing weekend without my contact lens. I don't know what I'm going to do." She got down to the bottom of the at the bottom, and she just said, "Lord, I don't know. You know where it is. If there's any way you could help me find my contact lens." And at the bottom, they looked all over her clothes and everything, and nobody could see it. And finally, one of the other girls that was coming down the mountain was halfway down, and she just yelled out, "Hey, did anybody lose any contact lens?" And she said, "I did." And the girl said, "This is the weirdest thing. I just saw there's on this rock wall, a line of ants. One's carrying a leaf, the other a blade of grass, and one of them walked right in front of my face carrying a contact lens. I'll bring it down." That's what I need. Call out to my dad. Help me. And he hears me.
Are you weary, heavy laden, weighed down by all your cares? Are you hurried, overwhelmed, and holding more than you can bear? Well, come to me, lay your burdens down, tell me everything, oh my faith.